Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
All right, everybody. Look like we are here on this 4th of July. I know everybody is probably having a nice time celebrating with the family, celebrating the 4th, eating and popping your fireworks. But Collective Minds Radio is still here for a dynamic show. We're going to do something a little different today. I want to just play a little something for you right now. And just hope you enjoy yourself. Okay, hold on a second.
It is what it is.
Something else for you. Let's see. So it looks like we're going to play a clip. We're going to be discussing this open discussion. And we're going to just be talking about a few things that's been happening over the past week. And one of them here, I'm going to cue up this clip for you. So you guys can hear this clip. I know y'all heard about Shakira Richardson. So she did this interview. I'm going to play this clip that she did on the Today Show. Here's the first one.
And it's my family. My sponsorship and haters, I greatly apologize if I let you guys down, and I did. And I just want to let y'all know this will be the last time the Olympics don't cheat Shakira Richardson, and this will be the last time the U.S. Doesn't come home with a gold medal in 100.
U.S. track sensation Shakira Richardson is apologizing. According to the United States Anti-Doping Agency, the 21-year-old track and field sprinter tested positive for marijuana following her Olympic qualifying 100-meter race victory at the Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon on June 19th. As a result, the USADA announced on Friday that Shakira has accepted a one-month suspension, a penalty she spoke out about on Friday's Today Show.
Okay. And then here's the second one here. Let me play this other one.
I want to take responsibility for my actions. I know what I did. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm allowed not to do. And I still made that decision. But not making an excuse or looking for any empathy in my case. But just, however, being in that position of my life, finding out something like that, something that I would say is probably one of the biggest things that have impacted me positively and negatively in my life when it comes to dealing with the relationship I have with my mother.
Shakira is referring to the death of her biological mother. A few days before her Olympic qualifying trial, she says she learned the news that her mother had died during an interview from a reporter, a moment she calls, quote, triggering and nerve-shocking, and led her to using marijuana as a coping mechanism, which is against the rules in sports, but legal in the state of Oregon.
how are you to tell me that? Like, you know, it's like, and not, no offense against him at all. He's just on his job, but definitely that's in me in a state of mind, in a state of emotional panic, if anything. Mm-hmm. And still knowing that I still, even though I'm here, I still have to go out and put on a performance for performing for my dream, but I think still compete to what it is. So yes, definitely triggered, and from there just blinded by emotions, blinded by sadness, blinded by just hurting, hiding hurt.
Still, Sha'Carri remains profusely apologetic and shares a message she wants everyone to understand.
I apologize. As much as I'm disappointed, I know that when I check, I don't represent myself. I represent a community that has shown me great support, great love. I'm human. We're human. When it comes to Sha'Carri Richardson, it's never been a steroid. It will never be a steroid attached to the name Sha'Carri Richardson. The charge and what the situation was marijuana. I'm not encouraging anybody to do it. I'm not saying, oh, don't do it or anything like that. But if you choose to do things in your personal time or things like that, you just should know, all right, beware of the consequences. Don't judge me because I am human. I'm you. I just happen to run a little faster.
As for what's next? The New York Times notes that while Sha'Carri can no longer compete individually in the 100-meter race, she could be cleared in time to run the 100-meter relay that takes place later in the games, if she's named to Team USA. Regardless, Sha'Carri says she's still chasing her Olympic dreams full speed ahead.
This is just one game. I'm 21. I'm very young. Unlike most, I have plenty of games left in me to compete in, and I have plenty of talent that backs me up because everything I do comes to me naturally. No steroid, no anything. This incident was about marijuana. So after my sanction is up, I'll be back and able to compete.
And no doubt Sha'Carri has the support of many adoring fans, like Gabrielle Union, who tweeted on Thursday, quote, "Weed is great for many a thing, but running faster isn't one of them. Let her run."
All right, so you guys heard it. Now, personally, you know, I'm kind of on the fence with this. You know, I know she broke the rule. I don't know. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this. Do you think she should have been suspended? Do you think this is something that should just be left alone? Or what? I'm glad I uploaded all these clips because, you know, my two co-hosts, Mufasa and Brother Kevin, they so patriotic, you know, they're barbecuing with the family and popping fireworks. I don't know if they're going to actually join us tonight or this evening because I know they love the holidays, so we'll just see. But I'm going to get to a caller real fast. You can just kind of tell me what you think about this. 314-381, caller. You're on with Collective Minds Radio.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
Roger.
It's true. It's true. It's
they
true.
Over there popping fireworks?
Yes.
We
it's
just
true.
Talked to Mustafa yesterday.
They just left me hanging. They left me hanging.
I can't believe this.
Hey, they love it. Mm. They love the holiday. Yeah. They love it. So.
And we were trying to throw the onus on you yesterday.
I know.
It's on them.
Yeah.
I can't wait to.
Hey,
probably a barbecue and pork chops.
Yeah.
Got a pot of collard greens.
That's what I'm thinking. I was like, the nerve of them. I mean, my God. Sometimes just want to work hard and do a show. You know, so we sometimes just can't compete with a holiday on a Sunday. You know? Sometimes
well,
holidays.
I tell you what I'll do. I hang with you
if
you don't mind.
Oh yeah, no.
But on the question,
you heard about this situation. You think she should?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I'm gonna tell you, I was really proud of this young lady, and I really enjoyed the way she went and gave homage to her grandmother that was sitting in the stands after that particular race. But. See, the thing is that the rules, you know, the rules have been there all along.
Yeah.
And you can go back to Michael Johnson, the male sprinter. And there's been others, too. But that's the rules that the Olympic Commission have set up. They've been there. And they're making reference that she comes from Oregon, where the marijuana is legal. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I bet her family was displaced Katrina victims. You remember back during a lot of those families, black families, went up in the northeast corner. But that's what the rules are.
That's why he can't really say nothing right now. I think he probably eating his potato salad.
Yeah, well, you know when your lips get greasy off of the grilled meat.
Also, yeah, I can hear him.
We're here smacking. We thought somebody was breaking in the door.
I figured I would just sit back and let y'all feel all that hate and have y'all love moment. But I've been on here since Shikari's interview talking about all her stuff. I just sit back and let y'all, you know, have y'all day
late.
Night.
Now you know I'm working the board. Now you know I'm seeing
y'all
everything,
y'all
what's going on. Priyanka was on way before you. You was late. You weren't here for the introduction. None of that. I'm right here. You know I'm on the board now.
That is the only thing I wasn't here for was the intro. I've been on all
the
time being peaceful.
The intro.
And just sitting back. And then instead of Raiju saying, hey, Mufasa, you know what she did? She spun it right on to the callers. I said, oh, okay. It's all good.
I mean, what more can I say? He was here before you.
No.
So,
but hey, you know that y'all had y'all moment. It's all good. Go ahead, continue. Go ahead.
But no, dude, so. But you heard, because I know when you came on, I was playing the second clip. So, do you think she should apologize? You think she did something wrong? She should apologize? You think she should be reprimanded? Because I think they suspended her for like a month. So she won't be able to, she can potentially compete in a different race. But I think this one that she dominated in, I don't think they're going to let her compete.
Well, if I'm, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but she did smoke this weed during the time she was competing, right? She smoked this way before the competition started.
She been doing that longer than just now. I would say.
I'm pretty sure she. But yeah, it was during the time period where she should not have been. But I'm pretty sure she.
With that being said, yes. She should apologize because she should know better. She should know better. Like,
but she did.
I ain't knocking
but
nobody for what they do.
Ain't no excuse, Roger. That's not no excuse.
No. You know, this is something bigger than that at stake right now. So you should get time off for that. You're supposed to be time off.
Yeah.
It's called being professional. That's all it is. It's called being professional. And she just wasn't professional in that moment. So, yes, she should apologize, and I'm glad she somewhat did.
See, this is what I talk about when I say you have to have family around you, a child. You got to have that authority. And your friends. See, if you grow up in a certain environment that we call disadvantaged, urban, and so on, when you start moving into a different atmosphere of environment, competition, business, school, and some of those things that you came up with, you got to let that stuff go.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Because we have seen many cases where people who were standing on the edge of stardom have decided to go back into around the old homies, and they drag you down. Look at the one basketball player. I think his name was Matthias that was signing for Boston, and he, I think he signed, and he went back home or something like that. He ended up getting shot, getting killed. And we've heard many stories like that. It's just places that you can't, you just got to stay away from. You just got to cut that loose and look at what you have at hand.
Yeah, I do agree. Some places that your friends just can't go, you know.
And I just, you know, I got to use this moment. Man, I shouldn't go there, but I am going to go there. Forget it. It would be hurt in this moment that get caught up with smoking some weed. I mean, you're already out there setting yourself, you know, trying to set yourself apart. You got, you know, your hair colorful and you all that. I ain't knocking none of that. You set yourself
long
apart,
nail.
But got to, yeah, you got your long nails and black girl magic rocking. And you just had to go ahead and go the extra mile and be called smoking weed too. I mean, has she twerked yet? Has she twerked when she won yet? Has she already done that? And that'll be next. That'll be next.
I don't know if her girlfriend would allow that to happen.
She will. Probably find a girlfriend and get out there twerking again. You know, black women. And Roger might get a little upset at me about this because we've kind of been hitting around this type of conversation the past couple of weeks. But yes, right now, because of this topic, I got to pick on black women a little bit. I mean, come on now. Y'all have the power in y'all hands to lead our culture better. Y'all the ones that bring the mothers, the powers in your hand to raise the children. We supposed to be doing better than this. Come on, man. I mean, I'm disappointed. I am very disappointed with this. In this moment, for you to drop that ball, this wasn't time for no weed smoke. It wasn't time. I mean, next, like I said, she might go ahead and start twerking. And just go ahead and get all the way hooded out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why we have to do these type of things to, like, we make spectacles and mockeries of ourselves. And I just don't really like that. I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean,
why do
I understand what
you're saying about that.
But you do have, I mean, but I don't think you can just really leave out the fact that, you know, her mom had passed too, you know. So it's hard to say how you would react. I'm not saying that, you know, it's an excuse, but it's an excuse. You know, you just, that's a tough pill to swallow. So you just, you know, you do have to take that into consideration. You know, someone's grieving. She's still young.
I'm taking
you know,
it
she's 21.
She put a bullseye on her back, and she representing, we don't like to say this, but she's representing not just America, but she is representing black America.
Well, she have never probably been in that, had that type of light shining on her like
right.
she has now.
Yeah,
and that is something. That's a lot of pressure. All of a sudden, find yourself in.
Run you straight to the blunt.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure
straight
to find
to
yourself
the
in. Then you got
to
look at who's around you, boyfriends and so on. You know, but Simone.
She has a girlfriend.
Well, that there's a goes to show you something.
It just
gets
worse. Oh my God!
You see Simone Biles. You see her boyfriend. He plays baseball for Houston.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now that there's a good I think that's a pretty beautiful picture. That's a good scenario right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
isn't he from St. Louis?
I'm not sure.
I think he is.
Yeah, but you may mention that she has a girlfriend. I'm not knocking that, but you know, that tells a story that we're not supposed to speak out on nowadays. But it tells a story.
But, you know, but speaking of black love, though, like Mufasa said, it's something that we kind of been kind of talking about, and you know, for a little while now. And there was another incident too that I want to play a clip about, since you guys have kind of, well, I know I sent it to Mufasa, but it's a young lady named Tabitha Brown. She's a comedian slash chef, cook, whatever. She's basically an internet or social media guru. So she became popular on social media. And her career kind of took off. So she's been working for the past 15 years. Her and her husband had moved out of town to L.A. to pursue her career. So she's basically, now that she's made it, she's retiring this man. And she's getting a lot of slack. She's definitely getting a lot of slack for us. I'm going to play a few clips. I'm going to play her clip first of her making the announcement. And then I'm going to play a clip about Wendy Williams responded to this. And someone else responded. So I'm going to just play first I'm going to play Tabitha Brown announcing that she's going to retire her husband. And I want you guys to listen to this.
Hello there. Good morning. Y'all all right? Today is a special day. You know, we moved to Los Angeles in 2004. And when we moved here, we moved with no family, right? No friends. Just me and my husband and Choice. And then we had one friend who moved with us, but it was just us. And we had no jobs when we came. We had about $8,000 that we had saved up. And all we had was my dream of pursuing my acting career and praying to make it big one day, right? And so when I first came, I, you know, got here, I worked at Macy's. I got a job within the first month of being here. And Chance had got a job at like a little law firm, like prepaid legal answering phones and stuff. And then he took the journey of becoming a police officer. I remember the day he came home and said, "Babe, I met these two cool cops today," which is very rare for us coming from the South. Like, we just didn't ever really encounter police officers the way he did, that looked like him and talked like him and was cool. And he was like, "I think I want to join LAPD." And I was like, "Really, babe?" He was like, "Yeah, you know, it's good benefits, salary good. Then, you know, we wouldn't really have to worry about one income being shaky. Like, you would always be able to pursue your dream without having to have, like, a real steady career outside of acting." And I thought, okay, you know, ain't nothing that my husband can't do. That's how I believe, you know. I believe if you want to do something, honey, try it out. That's the only way we're going to know if we're successful or not. And so I told him, I said, "Okay, babe, if you do this job, if you take on this journey in this career, give me 5 years. Because I still, as much as I supported him and was excited about it for him, the thought of my husband having to wear a bulletproof vest to work every day and putting his line, you know, his life on the line for others was commendable, but still scared me, you know? And so I said, "You know what, give me 5 years, babe. I'm gonna blow up. I'm going to get this acting thing. I'm going to blow up, and then I'll take you out of there. You know, I'll retire you from LAPD, and then you can pursue something that you love, you know, a dream that you have, you know." And he said, "Okay, babe, all right, 5 years, all right."
Okay, and then let me do this one more. It's not too long, but she's kind of wrapping it up. It's just another part of it.
He began that journey of LAPD, and here we are 15 years later. I missed the five-year mark, okay? But 15 years later, I have said to him, "Babe, it's time. It's time." And it's a bittersweet moment because it has been an emotional roller coaster for the last 15 years of him being a police officer. As we know, it's been tough as a black man, and then also being an officer, it has been very tough. And when my husband went on this journey, he really felt like he could make a difference. And I know that he has in his community. I know that he has done his part. But I also know that it's time for him to dream again. It's time for him to think like a child and think, ooh, when I grow up, what do I want to be? And it's something else. It's time for a new journey, a new chance at life, right? And God has blessed.
Okay, so I just wanted you guys to hear that because I personally didn't see anything wrong with her desire to do that. You know, their team sound like they're probably a good team. And if this is what she wanted to do, he held her down for 15 years. She said they moved out together so that way she could pursue her dream. He went with her, helped her out, and got a job and said, hey, I'm going to take this job on, maybe a little dangerous, but I'm going to do it just to hold us down. That way you can focus on yourself. And she said, just as a, you know, just to show gratitude and thankful, hey, if I make it and when I make it, I'm going to pay you back. And this is what she did. And I can't believe that, well, I guess I can't believe that she got smack from it, just from the two clips that I'm going to play later on. But I'm sure you two guys, black men, you don't see a problem with this, do you, with what she decided to do? Retire her husband.
Well, she do what she do what she want to do. That's between those two there. There's all sorts of conditional things that go on that we wouldn't consider. I guess you can say traditional, or as we have witnessed in the past. But today, you have all sorts of arrangements being made that would raise the eyebrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you know, I commend what she did, and it's clear the whole story is, you know, this man held her down for you know, some time while she was getting herself on her feet. So it ain't like he just got a free ride the whole marriage and relationship. This man went to work as a police officer, putting his life on the line for himself and his family. And they don't even talk about that. They try to make it seem like he just been a freeloader in this marriage.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's another thing to say. Some of these women, like Wendy, they just twisted. You know, they twisted. They need to work on themselves. Because this, like I said, what this lady did was I think it was a beautiful thing. They have a beautiful relationship, and some of these black women just hate me. Mad because they don't know what real love is. And maybe just throwing a little hate because they ain't never had a man like that in their corner. They don't know how to receive or give. So I commend her for what she did. And I'm sure if the shoe was on the other foot, he would have done the same thing for her. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, because he pretty much did in a sense when he decided to, you know, work and say, hey, you just pursue your dream. Listen to what Wendy Williams had to say about
woman,
this.
Her name is Tabitha Brown. Oh, you know her? Clap if you know her. Okay, good. I don't know her. Well, she's an influencer, and she's saying that she's retiring her husband. He's been a police officer for 15 years, and he wants to live out his dreams. Take a look.
I have said to him, babe, it's time. It's time. It's time for him to dream again. It's time for him to think like a child and think, ooh, when I grow up, what do I want to be? And it's something else. It's time for a new journey, a new chance at life, right? And God has blessed us. He has blessed me that I can retire my husband.
Nope. I was married to one of those. you know, I make the money and so on and so forth. Go live your dreams, buy a business, you know, stay with me, but go, go, go. You see how that turned out. I predict that this marriage is going to be on real rocky ground in a moment. Live your dream. Then they invest in stuff and they lose the money. And then they invest in something else and the money gets swindled or stolen. And then they invest again. Then he comes home and throws his bag down. And he's like, and she's like, what? What? And he's like, I can't do this. And this is your fault. You're over here making all your money and stuff. You had me quit my job. And I can't find my live like a child. I
see how she got all that twisted up. Her story was so twisted from what this lady Tabitha Brown actually said. Mm-hmm. She
break it down.
Clearly,
break it down.
She didn't, clearly, Wendy wasn't listening. She trying to compare. She's too busy trying to compare Tabitha's situation to hers, and to make it make sense. And it's just not the same. Tabitha and her husband were working together. He was paying all the bills. Wendy Williams' husband wasn't never in the position to do that. She was always making the money. So she made a bad choice getting with a man that couldn't even hold her down ever. So that is just two separate situations. You know, so Wendy, she just sounds so bitter and about it. You know, she's thinking that she's saying that the same thing is going to happen to her. Her Tabitha husband is going to do the same thing that Kevin did to Wendy Williams. Still, I'm going to invest in this and that. So I just thought that was just kind of crazy for to make that. Yeah, she sounds like it. She's still upset with Kevin for doing her the way that he did, and he definitely did her bad. He did her bad, but, I mean, hey, with the way she is, I don't know who really knows what she was actually doing in the house, you know, in the household. But from what it seems like, she got a hold to the wrong fella. But that doesn't mean everybody is getting a hold to the wrong fella. So it's just like she didn't listen to the story.
No. And like you say, I know it might be an uncomfortable moment for him. You know, like they say, bittersweet. People might not understand it. Why is it bittersweet? Because, you know, this is his identity as being a breadwinner. You know, most real men want to be the breadwinner and the provider. But at the same time, let's be real. The job he's doing is a dangerous job. I'm sure she, not only him, but she didn't want to keep seeing him go out and risk his life to provide when he don't have to do that anymore. So it seemed like it just makes sense that she would say, look, sweetheart, I don't want to lose you one night. You know, you go out to work and don't come back. So we're in a position where, hey, I can help you do something different. You know, how about it? So I give him credit as well for stepping out of his comfort zone, because he probably, as a man, got comfortable in that role. Hey, I know it's dangerous, but I'm going to her. This is what I do. This is my identity. He said out of his own mouth, this has been his identity. So it's going to be, this probably is going to be a struggle, but I don't think it's going to end like Wendy saying it's going to end. He may struggle a little bit, but he'll find his way. I think they're so close. I think their relationship is strong enough that he will find his way and they'll be okay. So that was just pure hate on Wendy's part.
And another thing we don't know, he's been there for 15 years. I'm sure he's leaving with something. You know, it's not like he's going to be totally broke. And he may still be able to afford to pay the bills for a little bit more time. You know, it's just that the way that she announced it, Tabitha just announced it, like, I'm going to retire him, meaning that, hey, I can do this. You don't have to go to work to this job. You can pursue your other dreams, you know. So whether you bring it in or not, we're good. you know, that doesn't mean just because she has chosen to package it that way and present it that way to the public, that it just actually means that he's just going to be sent back, you know. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure he's been there 15 years. I'm sure he's going to leave with something. You know, he's going to have something. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he may have savings now, you know, so.
Yeah.
Well,
I tell you this.
Is I
guess co-host still with us, Brother P, you still there?
Sure am. Hold it down.
All right. Well, you know, I got a story I want to ask y'all about.
You know, can I say this?
Sitting back waiting on. Oh, go ahead, Richard.
That was Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared of her. I mean, whatever.
You should be.
But go ahead, Mustafa.
As you should be scared of her or him. I mean, that wasn't nice. But anyway, speaking a bit of bees, you know, I got to ask y'all. Well, before I ask y'all, hey, I got to say congratulations to my boy Bill Cosby for coming home from the penny. You know,
oh, yeah.
A free
oh, Bill.
Man. You know I had to touch this. You know, yeah, I know I had to touch this. He is a free man. So how do y'all feel about Bill coming home? And how, and this is a twofold question. And how do you feel about the heat that Felicia Rashad has been getting for her support of Bill getting free? If you didn't know, Howard University students called for her resignation from her post of dean at the historically black school that she's at. So how do you feel about that? That just because Felicia said, hey, she supports Bill, now Howard is now turned on her. All these women are turned on her. You know, I think it's a bunch of bitter bees out here. And then we talk about a 75% black school. Like, it's just self-hate. But tell me how y'all think about both situations, the Bill coming home and the heat that Felicia been getting.
I don't have a problem with him being home, actually, you know. I didn't have a problem with it. I'm not upset. I'm not upset with anybody that support him, you know. And I think it is, you know, ridiculous. Now, this cancel culture is just going too far. You know, it's like now they just do things like that and try to come against people a lot of times just because it's trending just to see how effective they can be. You know, so I don't think that they should try to counsel her like they're trying to do. But I do think that speaks values, though. But me personally, I don't have a problem with him being out, and I don't have a problem with her supporting him. I just think it's ridiculous that they're coming for her.
Yeah, I agree with that. Bill Cosby shouldn't have never been indicted because of the previous arrangements that was made between him and the prosecutor at the time. And that's what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said. He got caught up in one of those traps where in a deposition, what you say can be used to further implement you. And he thought he had said he had arrangement with the prosecutor. I don't know if it was verbal or whether it was contractual, that it could not. And these women, 60 of them come out. These women are looking for a payday. That's what they're looking for. And that stuff goes on all the time. Now, I don't know if Bill Cosby was messing with women in that particular fashion. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I do know one thing, that would have been kind of unusual for the time period that it happened. Him using people like that, using white women like that, if we can say it. And 60 of them? So I can't, and I know that women do, now you got black women doing the same thing. Because if you refer to like Mike Tyson with a female that had, I think the story goes, she spent the night with him and time come the next morning, she was ready to leave. And she asked him to walk her down to the cab, and he did not, and I think she got mad. So she got in the cab, went home, I believe, and I don't know how long it was after that point that she began to seek charges against him that led him to being, you know, having these problems. Well, why come she didn't go straight to the police when she got in the cab? All these type of questions pop up.
Yeah, you mean it's ridiculous. And you know, on the Felicia Rashad tip, tell me, what do y'all think? Does it say something for the culture that we have now that we have a man who was freed, okay, exonerated of his charges, overturned? I mean, you know, he's clear. He's a free man. He didn't do any crime. And so I don't get or understand how Howard University will have an issue with this man. He went through the process. He's a free man. Why are you still mad? You know, I mean, he's not charged with anything. Not charged, but he's free. He didn't do anything wrong. And they still, like, with the Me Too culture, want his head. Not only his head, but now you want Felicia's head. What about all the hard work she's done as dean of the school? None of that counts. I mean, what is the deal with the generation that we have now?
Well, I think it's just the part of, you know, now when people, they realize that when they can come together and do things, how stuff can happen. And I think they just with just like drugs with adrenaline, or I guess like a power trip. They just want to see that they can counsel somebody because they see what it's been doing here lately. I just think a lot of people just doing it just because. Whether they really strongly feel that way or not, they just want to just act. It's just like they're not responsible. So I think even like with the Felicia Rashad situation, people just come together just to counsel her because maybe one person maybe spoke out, but then other people may feel like, okay, well, let's just get together and just try to counsel her just to do it. They don't have to necessarily agree. They're driven by something else. They're driven by the power. You guys know the saying, great power comes great responsibility. And with responsibility, you know, you guys heard of that.
They're driven by stupidity.
So they just can't handle it. Remember what I just said, I think, a couple of weeks ago? You really want to know the character of a person, give them power. They'll show you every time. And I just think that that's what it is. Now people have learned that they can come together and protest something like that and something will happen. But that's how I see it. That's how I see the whole thing.
Yeah, they should have been coming together protesting for his release. That's what, you know, that's how I feel. Especially as from HBCU. Or you should just shut your mouth and stay out of it. And I could be wrong, people gonna charge you. I'm wrong for saying this. But
either
ride for Bill and Felicia, or you should just keep your mouth closed and stay out of it.
They gonna cancel you.
That's just awful. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Felicia, I think she had a right to say. She was speaking on the justice that was being served. He was allowed his due process, his full due process. And it worked out, the law worked out in his favor the way one would expect it to. So that's what she was commenting on. And these people that's out here who have been sexually abused or whatever, you know, the funny thing, I always talk about this, and you got some entertainment. Alan mentioned James Brown and David Ruffin, their sexual and physical abuse of a young teenager, a young woman, black woman, Tammy Terrell. And then you got your founder of Kwanzaa, his torturing of black women, supposedly reading what I read, supposedly hung them up by their hands like a piece of meat and put cigarettes on them, lit cigarettes on their skin and other things. Well, nobody says nothing about that. Nobody talks about that. And the thing that perplexes me is that how some grievous things are just completely overlooked, and then people follow the leader and go toward the other. It makes you scratch your head, at least me. I scratch mine.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is crazy. Yes, it is.
The world is going mad.
So, you know, hey, it was another thing that was on my mind. Did any one of you all, I'm sure y'all didn't know, I don't even know why I'm asking y'all, YouTube this question, but it's out there for any caller that calls in also. Who watched the BET Awards? And if you did, you know I got to ask you, how did you feel about that young man's performance, Lil Nas X? Just, you know, out there, out front, kissing men in the mouth, promoting all this type of homosexuality, you know, at the BET Awards show. So, did y'all watch the award show? And if so, where were you at? I mean, how did you feel about his performance?
I didn't watch it. I never watched the BET show. I didn't watch it, but of course I did hear about it. And it's sad. It's sad and it's ridiculous that they, you know, that they promoting these types of things, you know. I never condone that type of behavior, especially publicly, you know. But I'm not into the awards. I'm just not.
Yeah, you know, Piyaki, I don't know if it, you know, back in your time, I know it's been quite some time ago. No pun intended. but y'all had,
watch,
you know.
Watch your mouth.
You know, did y'all have black entertainers that was just open and flamboyant? Like, I mean, I know you had people like Lil Richard and what's his name, Flip Wilson. But to this level where they just, you know, kissing each other in the mouth and.
Oh, heck no, man. You really. Starting something now.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
You know, the first time I ever seen that in purpose in public, I was downtown St. Louis, and I parked in a parking garage because they had street festivals at that time. I forget what they were titled. You know, they have street festivals on Saturday, on Fridays and Saturday evenings downtown. And something else was going on in that park there on Market Street, right there at Broadway. You know, it's a long park that stretches down to where Hooters is there today. Backs up to the east end of Metropolitan Plaza. And I seen two white females kissing. And I was just parking my car and looked at it. First time I've ever seen that in public. Really, I had never seen that in public. So, you know, you got you had things like the fanny ball, where you had the cross dressers and homosexuals. They would have their ball, sort of like a Mac contest that they had over there at Little Richard's on West Florissant, and I guess that's fair. But, yeah, you had them, but on TV doing something like that, no, that wasn't. Heck, them were the days of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. They had their own separate beds. They wasn't on TV.
Yeah,
so.
You're all right.
Mm-hmm.
No, nope, you're sure right. They wouldn't even show people in the same bed together.
No.
Yeah.
But you did have, you remember that one movie that Oprah Winfrey played in, Brewster's Place?
Oh, man. Wasn't that the one was Eddie Murphy in there?
I don't know if Eddie Murphy, but Oprah Winfrey played in it, and apparently it was two women that were gay in that movie. So, and Queen Latifah played in a spot. I think Queen Latifah is, you know, gay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
Roger,
her business.
You seen that movie?
Well,
I
know I've heard of it, but I'm sure. I just can't recall it, but I know I definitely have heard of it.
Yeah, you said Queen Latifah was in it also, right?
I think she was in that. I think she, you know, goes to that persuasion. But
yeah, she definitely does. But I knew that when she did Set It Off. When she played that character and Set It Off, I knew then.
But no, Mustafa, what I heard that this person done at that event, that wasn't commonplace back in them times. That's something recent. And a lot of it came about with the advent of Barack Obama being president.
Come on, teach us something.
And because Barack Obama, and you know, you watch people, what they do. And he put Kevin Jennings on his as part of his administration as being over the safe schools czar, because homosexuals was vibing for safety in schools. You know, they had that thing out there at University City High School, Roger, where there was some homosexual students that was talking about they wanted to have safe spaces. You know, they had a gay male class president one year at University City High School several years ago. So he hired Kevin Jennings, and Kevin Jennings was the head of a organization called Glensing, Gay, Lesbian, and something else. And that's the one that's the organization that sponsored that one event in Massachusetts at a public school. Had a workshop on a weekend that was busing young students into the workshop. The event is as young as 12 years old. And they had these workout breakout sessions. You know, you go to the room, you talk about this, so on, so on. And somebody got an agenda, a program agenda, and seen where a couple of the sessions had topics like, should I swallow or spit it out, or fisting. And fisting is when the object goes sticking your fist up somebody's rectum.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
So they were talking this to the kids. Most often. So what happened, it took people by storm, by a hell of a surprise, and they have people organize. These whites that organize this. These white kids, too. Whites organized an organization called Mass Resistance, and it has spread out across the country. And it's an organization that is supportive toward stopping the spread of these type of teaching and reoccurrences in public schools. And I guess in other places, too, if they can. For instance, like when you have those cross-dressers that we observe, that's having reading sessions with kindergarten, dressed up like clown and little fairy dresses, these men, lipstick on and all this stuff, and wanting to have reading sessions with kindergarten and up in the libraries of these schools, wobbling around on the floor and all that crazy mess.
Yeah.
Who in the hell want their kids to be exposed to that?
I remember that.
Something.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that. Yeah,
so this stuff is getting.
I don't get it.
I don't get it, Neve. It's getting completely out of hand, if you want
yeah.
to say that, because mm-hmm. now they're trying to get the military to salute. And I heard somebody say this: that one unit of the Navy was supposed to give. Well, they flying these flags. They flying, well, like flying Black Lives Matter banners at U.S. embassies. I've seen a picture. I don't know if it's commonplace. And then they want to fly these rainbow flags at some of these installations. And your soldiers supposed to salute it. What kind of crazy mess is that?
It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, things change, and I guess they just expect everybody to go with the change. But why they changed in that direction, I don't know, but they are definitely changing. And
yeah, it's talking about change.
Wow.
Bianca, you go get your COVID? Did you go get your COVID-19 shot yet?
No, I didn't, but I see where the country of Ghana is instituting those national ID cards that everybody's got to have in the country. And they arrested 3,800 foreigners who was trying to get cards. I wonder if it's some of those Black Americans supposed to be moving back to Ghana.
Mm.
But the cards have all your information. It's a biometric card that has all your information on it. And they talked about how the information is available to other countries' agencies. I'm thinking about the agencies being the IRS and the FBI.
Mm.
Yes, I hear when you get that COVID shot, the card that they give you is attached with your information on there. Yes, so like if you're male and I guess if you're Black or white or whatever, I think all this stuff is associated with a card. I think it's like a number that they put on your passport vaccination card.
Well, I didn't take no vaccination. Don't intend on. And I suspect
is there anything they can do that will persuade you guys to take one? Like, say, if they mm-hmm. say, well, you can't go to work if you don't take it. Is there something that they could do or say that you can't participate in that will make you think about taking it?
No. Nothing will persuade me to do it. I will have to be forced. I mean, back would have to be up against the wall.
Yeah, they would have to force me with gunshots and shoot me. Then it wouldn't be no use anyway. But I'm
that's all I was
going to
say.
I'm
so
hoping.
What type of force? Like, what would be the force, Mufasa?
Now, unfortunately, and I just got to keep it real, where they got me in a pickle is because I support a lot of people. You know, I have a family that I support. So the form of pressure that they can put on me is to stop my flow of income, which means I have to totally switch gears and do something different to generate income and a decent income to continue to provide for my family. That's the pickle that they will put me in,
Okay.
So, like I say, that just puts me in a pickle. That's still, I'm not saying that's enough to force my hand, but it does put something on my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It definitely puts something on my mind because I don't know how far this will go. You know, we've talked about it before where I was like, it could get to a point where without the COVID shot, who knows? They might just even tell you, you know, you can't renew your license or you they start fining you. I don't know how far this is going to go.
Right,
but
exactly.
I know two people.
So would a driver's license be enough to make you guys take it? If they say that, then a driver's license, would that make you?
Well, now you're starting to get into the constitutional area. They're already in the constitutional areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect and hope that the courts step forward and tell them that. You got some states like Florida where the governor, DeSantis, said that that's not going to fly in his state where people are required to have a vaccine passport before they can board public accommodations. That's what you see going on now in these social media like Facebook and Twitter, where they kick you off if you say something that goes against their grain and popular narrative. They don't like conservative thought. But Facebook and Twitter is like the telephone system. They're public accommodations. And kicking people off of public accommodation raises a lot of legal problems there. And they need to be pursued and punish anyone that would use those sort of tactics.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about this trip to outer space? Would you guys take that trip?
If I can come back next week.
Hey, I'm...
They're trying to make it where, you know, although it'll be expensive, but there's not supposed to be a long, long stay. In fact, when I was listening to the one guy, I can't think his name, talk about it. I think he's going up there next month or something, later this month. He's going to go up. This is what their plan is. When they start taking just random folks up there and go up for 15 minutes and come back down.
Yeah, I'm down if I could just go see. I'm not the type of person that believes in going to Tampa with stuff. But to just go up and take a view, I don't have a problem with that. I just have a problem when they start tampering with things. You know, shoot rockets into the moon and stuff like that. I'm like, that's the stuff I have problems with. Just going to sightsee, fly up and come back down, that's cool. But, you know, I did want to go back just for a second with the COVID thing because I wanted to share some with Priyanka and Roger knows about this situation and ask really both of y'all. The thing is, like, with my employment, is coming to a point, they put out a memo saying that they expect all their employees to have this shot by a certain deadline, or they're going to, I believe, let them go. Do y'all think, from a legal standpoint, they can do that? Fire people just because they don't have a COVID vaccine?
Yeah, and then they don't let you have a religious exemption. Because there was a form you could fill out. And I used to carry one with me whenever I went out of the country. Because you have this yellow card that indicates that you've taken the smallpox vaccination. And any other vaccination that they will want you to have before you come in their country. Well, that exemption was good enough to say that it goes against your religious convictions. But here come Obama again, to my understanding. It drew some precarious move that exemption, just like they want to do away with implied immunity, that government officials and also police use, I think he done away with that. To being a excuse for not being involved in certain things like Obamacare and so on.
Mm.
So I know when I remember when I went over to Africa, it was a series of shots that I received. But it was some more that I was supposed to get, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna get them. And I always, when I got back, I got sick, and I wasn't sure. I was wondering, I don't know if it's because I didn't take all the shots or what, but I got really, really sick, like really, really sick when I got back. I didn't know.
People, you go to Africa, there are diseases over there that will wipe you out, especially at malaria.
Yeah.
And the thing about malaria, if that mosquito bites you and implant that parasite may not start taking effect on you until months later at the worst. And then when you back in the States and you rush to the hospital because of some symptoms that you're having, as people in those countries would immediately look for, but here in the United States they wouldn't look for that because the conditions that promote the insects, like those mosquitoes, that just don't occur here in the United States. So a doctor would be fumbling around trying to figure out and run tests on what's wrong with you and not know that 6 months ago you was in a malaria-infested country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank God I pulled through, but I didn't know that if I was, though, I was like, well, this is going to be my story. Because I was really sick. But I just nursed myself back to health naturally because I'm not really into all that medicine. Did a lot of just flush my system out. Ate a lot of garlic, raw garlic, ginger, stuff like that. Just kind of really, really cleansed myself out. Didn't eat like a fast. Well, I couldn't eat anyway, so like a fast, I guess. And I know I hear if you like, you can reset your body, you know, if you don't have food for a certain amount of days anyway. So, but yeah, that was close. But I can't remember right now exactly how many shots that I did get. But I do know I didn't get them all. But, yeah, I can understand, though, Mufasa. I don't know if they could legally, you know, fire you guys or not for that. But the thing is, the problem is this, that whether they have legal grounds to do it or not, they will probably still do it, and it'll be up to you to hire somebody to fight it. And that's what they would bank on. You know, and like, people not going to do it. They either going to take the shot, because most people is going to take it. You know, it's not going to be enough of people to say, no, I'm not going to take it. I think enough of the people is going to take it. So they're not going to even really worry about it.
Yeah, this stuff is crazy how they're pressing. I mean, I've had several conversations with management over this. Like, I'm one of the last people standing of not taking it. And they just steadily keep coming at me, asking me, like, you know, we just feel that, you know, you be protecting yourself by getting it. I mean, and we got all this information and how safe the shot is and da-da-da-da-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do. This keep going on and on. And my thing is, I know people who had issues after getting it. You know, like I say, I have an old coworker. They went and got the shot, and she told me that if she knew what she knew now, she wouldn't have. Her and her husband wouldn't have gotten it. But they went and got their shot. They got a Pfizer shot, and when they went to get the second one, that same day they were out on a camping trip, and he was driving one of the little carts, and he blacked out and ran into a tree, acting so bad, ended up breaking her hip. And I said, has he ever had any histories of blacking out before? She said, never. And this is a couple that's in their 60s. He's never had any issues like that. And the only thing is when he got that shot.
How they responded to your religion, saying, you know, for religion purposes, like, how do they respond to that? They don't care?
No, they have the paperwork there for which I need to turn in. And that's to be continued. I have to let you know about that, how that ends up. You know, we have to turn in the paperwork, and then they have to approve it.
Well, yeah, the government can't swing you one way or the other. But what the government allow is private businesses to attempt to get away with things that violate your constitutional protections. At least they try to do it until it's been pushed down at a court level. Probably have to go all the way up to the Supreme Court because these judges at the lower courts are just as raggedy as you could ever imagine. So, no. And see, here's the thing. That person that had that effect with that drug that haven't been approved by the Federal Drug Administration, they can't sue the drug maker because the drug maker has been given applied immunity from torts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, they definitely made sure that they were covered. So no matter what happens, they cannot be sued once you take it, even if you die.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's supposed to be some type of waiver that they have been having people sign when they get the shot. You know?
Yeah, saying you can't sue them no matter what happens. You just...
So I told them this. I told my managers, I said, let's just say I entertain getting this shot. I said, you know I'm not going to sign that waiver because in the event that something happened to me, you know, I would want me or my family to be able to get some type of compensation. So he said, yeah, he I know he doesn't have a problem with it, but I'm assuming that once I got there to take it, then now they would still try to twist my arm to sign this waiver.
Because even if they decide to say, okay, well, we're not going to give it to him because he don't want to sign a waiver, then that still puts you in a situation with your job. They're going to be like, okay, you didn't get the shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
it was somebody else. I'm drawing a blank. It was another person I know too who took that second shot and they blacked out also from there. So you just never know. It's like I told him, I say you don't know how this will affect a person. You know, it affects individuals differently. Just because, I'm talking to my manager, I said, just because you got it and right now you're fine, it didn't bother you, you don't know how that will affect me. We're different.
Exactly.
I could get it, and I could die right then and there right on the spot.
Yeah.
So you don't know, so you're trying to, you know, soothe me and calm me down with it. No, because you're still introducing a different form of DNA in my body. I don't know how my body is going to accept it. And so no matter what you say, you can't make me comfortable with this. And so forcing me to try to get it, it's not going to fly. Now, if you want me to go around here with my mask on, hey, that should be good enough. That should be good enough.
And definitely.
You have no
caller,
Rodney?
No.
You have a caller, Rodney?
No, everybody's celebrating. I guess the fourth got everybody in with their
they just went paralyzed.
They got the American flag all wrapped around them.
You know what? Yeah, and they all vaccinated.
Well, now wait a minute. Now, come on, they are Americans. What else they gonna have around? We can't.
Oh, P.I.C.
You know, I see where. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask, I'm sure you listened to the Demetri Johnson show this morning, right?
That was silly. Heck, I can't find him. He's not streaming on Facebook.
I know he wasn't. Yeah, I know he wasn't.
I couldn't find him.
I wonder why he didn't stream on Facebook.
Probably done lost it. I've probably been kicked off.
Now y'all still got to let it be known who y'all talking about on for the show now.
You're talking about Magic. What is those? Hot 104.1. His show on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Then he has another show out of Detroit on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 6 o'clock p.m.
Yeah,
Jesse.
What's the past name, Jesse? Lee Peterson?
Jesse Lee
Peterson. Yeah, he had him on.
I told Jesse, I said, Jesse, you know, you go in there, they're just going to ambush you. You haven't been coached on that type of environment you stepping off in. So if they're going to ask you a question, you try to answer for you.
Yeah.
He came on?
Yeah.
He's highly conservative.
He's highly conservative and religious. And he believes in, traditional values. What we call
so I guess school. It was bad, huh? And so it was a bad turnout for Jesse? It wasn't kind of bad?
Yeah, bad turnout for Jesse. They jumped on him. He told Jeff Rainford he's the worst white man he ever seen. With Jeff is. You know, I listened to Jeff on KMOX on Mark Rhythm's show with that other white woman. I can't think of her name. And he talked a whole different picture on there.
Oh, I can believe it.
He talked a whole. Matter of fact, I can send you a recording. I recorded one. Well, I didn't record. I went on the show's archives and pulled it down and listened to what he'd be talking. He talked about the reason why come you got so many immigrants coming in because whites ain't having babies. Well, what kind of blacks ain't having babies? See, he talks that stuff. Him and Jane, his other woman, Jane, I can't think of her last name. He was on Mark Rhythm's show on KMOX, and he talked a whole different game when he's on there. So, but, you know, that's...
He probably don't want to meet you to say nothing about.
Yeah, and they can't... If you got somebody who's knowledgeable about what's being talked, ain't nothing they can do.
You know, Bianca, I got to tell you something. You know, Roger did tell me earlier she thought that you and Jesse were quite alike.
Who, Jesse Peterson?
Yeah.
Well, you know what makes me like I am is because of my experiences. You know, I was once listen to those lectures and what people had to say. But then when you get out in the real world and start experiencing, then that puts all that stuff on another shelf. You're talking about human beings. Human beings are human beings. Wait till you go to other countries and meet human beings at the least level. They're human beings. And they do things.
Yeah.
Yeah, what can be described?
My grandmother used to tell. My grandmother used to say, just keep on living.
Yeah, you keep living. You find out.
Yeah. I don't know. Jesse Lee, you should if you talk to him, you should have him come on the show because I have some questions for the young man because I'm doubtful in what he preached. Because he seems to me, when I listen to him, he just seemed like he just say things almost like that guy Kevin Samuels and Tommy Sotomayor. It's like they say things just for the shock value, just to keep the conversation going, but they don't really mean that. They don't really mean what they say. I can't believe that this young man, Peterson, really believes this stuff that he say.
He ain't no young man. He's old. Well, just think about it. Don't we talk about the effeminization of the black male?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, we know, if you don't know, you can go to U.S. Census and see this. With black American population, there's a disparity between the percentage of women compared to men. It's more so than any other group. In other words, you got more women than you got men. Then when you look at the availability for, say, like marriage, it's really off the hook. So when Jeff made mention about more black women are going to college, well, heck yeah, there's more of them that's available to go to college. When you got your population is 52% female and 48% male, that's a 2%. You're talking about a million. You're talking about a million and a half, 2 million disparity. So you got 2 million more women than you do men. So who are they going to marry?
Yeah, Jeff was saying that women are more cooperative.
Now they are.
Yeah. that's what his stance was. He said that women are more cooperative.
Women today is different than what your mother was, Roger.
Different in
what
way?
I mean,
what
she is.
Different in what way?
I bet your mother don't wear no skirt whose hem stopped mid-thigh.
You mean now or then? Like, I'm trying to understand.
She probably didn't then either. Maybe when she was a little girl in Sunday school.
I
bet she didn't use the type of vocabulary that we find that's coming out of that particular group today. You know that yourself. I bet she wasn't on the top of an ambulance twerking.
She wasn't as savage. I'm just gonna be a little harder. She wasn't as savage as this group that's out here now. These women out here are savage. They be out here fighting. Shooting.
What about Brother Robert X Minor?
Oh, that's my brother there.
What happened to him? I mean, we ain't got to put it out on the air, but look at that woman. Mm-hmm. What she done to him. And what was the other guy? Teddy Pendergrass, was it him? He had a similar experience, I believe, or somebody had a similar experience with the woman he was with.
Yeah, these women out here, boy.
Woo.
Hey, Roger, you got a lot of work to do on your sister.
Well, I lead by example. Especially the young ones.
Right, see, Roger, you are an exception. You're not the norm.
I try not to be. I don't want to be like the norm, because then that means I would get the same thing that they get. I don't want the same results. I want different results.
And see, I see you try to protect and take up for, but you taking up and protecting some that would tell you to go to H. We don't need you talking to us.
Yeah, she do. She be trying to look out for them. She don't want to turn on her girls. I understand. She be trying.
Well, it's more so that I can see different perspectives. So when I hear a perspective that's not being brought up and it's just one-sided, then, yeah, I will to try to bring a balance.
And a lot of these people speaking from experience. Yeah, a lot of these people speaking from experience, they got a bitter taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
Hey, I know we're getting towards the end, but I do want to ask Roger this on this subject. If your daughter was to bring, it was a choice. She's coming home with one of these two types of men. One of them is going to be a young man her age that has no job. He can't barely take care of himself. Ain't got no car. You know, he's a whiner. He's a soft dude. But, you know, he is her age. she's bringing him home as her guy, or she's dating a man, she's bringing a man home that's, say, 20 years her elder. An older man that's mature, you know. Which would you prefer she bring home? The older man?
I would prefer her.
Or the one her age that need a lot of work.
And okay, before I answer, you say, how old is my daughter at this time?
Let's say she's 21. And she's courting these two men. One man is 42 years old. He's mature. He got his own business, but he's an older man. And then it's another young guy. Say she went to school with him. She liked him. They came up together in school. And but he broke. He ain't got no type of spunk about himself. He don't know what he want to do with himself. He can't keep a job. He lose every little job he get. But he is her age. And he argue with her all the time. He whining. Which one of these men would you?
First off, she don't have to date either one of them. She don't have to date either one of them.
I know you was going to say that, but I'm just saying, between
these two. But if she wanted to, well, it's not, that's not realistic because it's more than just them two. So that's not realistic. So if neither one of them are bringing her down, they're not being disrespectful to her and they're not treating her in a negative way, then it's okay to be friends. You don't have to have an intimate relationship with the guy. It's okay to have true, genuine friendship. And I wouldn't necessarily encourage her to date any of them, to have a sexual relationship with any of them. I wouldn't encourage that, you know. If they want to be friends,
you
what, it's fine.
My wife, auntie, daughter, married a man that was about 20 years older than her. He bought her a house, sent her to school, and bought her a car, and he had no drama out of this guy. That's the difference. You're dealing with somebody. That's the difference when we're using, that's the difference between handling a stick of dynamite and a bottle of nitroglycerin.
Right. And see,
you don't know when that nitroglycerin is going to blow up.
This is
the dynamite don't go off until you light it.
But why I bring that up is because, in my opinion, and I know we're getting short on time, but, you know, back in the day, to me, more women understood the fact they didn't have an issue with that, you know, getting with a more mature man that's seasoned, and people's families, they had no problem with that because they knew that he was going to be responsible. But now you got these, you know, girls, they try to date these young men who don't know what the hell they're doing, and they get, you know, crushed by them, or they end up having to be the breadwinner of the family, you know, and the roles get reversed. So, for me, I would much rather, just because he's older in age, if my daughter brought me home, told me, hey, she's dating this man that's, you know, daddy, he's 20 years older than me, but he's a good man, he's like, daddy, I would have not one problem with that. Not one.
Well, I mean,
I would much rather her date him. I would much rather her
problem.
Date him than date the man, the boy that's her age, that's always arguing with her. He ain't got no direction where he want to go. He can't keep a job. All we can say is he's her age.
Right.
I would much rather her date the older, mature man than date the young boy.
That's why I said what I said, because it's not so much about the age for me. It's more so how the person is treating you. You know, if this person is being respectful and being...
Right. So in those two dynamics, or you would be fine with her dating the older guy.
If that's what she wanted, and he's you know, genuine and being respectful, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't cry.
You're okay with that.
I wouldn't cry about
Yeah, I wouldn't cry about nothing like that because my main focus is to make sure that the person is being
treated right.
Like I said, right, respectful. You're gonna be respectful. You're gonna be a provider, and all this. You have to be able to.
Well, the thing is, Roger, either you nip it in the bud on the beginning, or you gonna be stuck with it in the end. Because that daughter of yours is going to be coming back to the house dragging kids in trash bags full of clothes.
That's real.
Anyway.
We got to sign off.
Your time is up. I'm going to get out of here. It really was enjoyable. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right on.
And shame on Kevin and them poor chops and collagen.
Exactly.
Peace out, family.
Thanks.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and ask.